Hello, welcome to the Smith & Faces Technologies Podcast. I'm joined by Sam Brown, our resident engineer, Jamie Denton, one of our product developers, and as always, I'm Martin Smith. This is the first of what we hope will be many podcasts in which we discuss technologies, ideas, and concepts, both real and fictitious. We'll aim to discuss a different subject every podcast, including every possible field of modern, cutting-edge, and future technologies. In this episode, we'll discuss the plausibility of the prosthetics, cybernetics, and augmentations from the popular game franchise Deus Ex.
The games that are out there nowadays. I mean,
okay, so yeah, so Deus Ex: Mankind Divided is to be released this year. I forget what date it's to be released on. I mean, Human Revolution was epic, but it looks like they've really like put some serious work into the new game. So yeah, the actual prosthetics that are in Human Revolution, and obviously we can only theorise on what's going to be in Mankind Divided. I mean, obviously he's probably going to have the base kind of augmentations he had in the first one, just carried over to the new one.
Yeah,
the game's set in 2027, at least Human Revolution was. I suppose the Mankind Divided might be a year or so later.
Yeah.
As far as the technology that's involved with the augmentations that he's currently got, a lot of work's been done recently with like prosthetic legs. So there's a few TED Talks out that have got guys sort of demoing some quite sophisticated legs. And not to discredit them in any way, shape or form, because they've done some amazing stuff, but to build a prosthetic leg is relatively easy. And by relatively, I mean, if you compare it to building a prosthetic arm, for example, a fully functional prosthetic arm, it's relatively easy, because really you've only got to deal with, say, a knee joint, which is just a hinge, basically, an ankle, which is a hinge with a little bit of flex, and the toes aren't really very dexterous. So the legs are already kind of there. We're not far off already being there. I mean, we're already at a stage where they can be... where they can be linked to the nervous system, so the nerve impulses themselves actually trigger the legs. We're still working with these sockets, the almost vacuum sockets, that effectively the residual limb sort of sits in. And
they can be very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Now, as far as the technology to do osseointegration is concerned...
There are one or two amputees that are out there, like ex-forces. I've had limbs blown off, so, you know, but they're having prosthetics, like, physically fused to, like, their thigh bones and things like that, where they're actually having a steel socket with it, or stainless steel socket, and they can literally screw a leg on, can't they? So,
yeah.
Which is better than your old suction cup. It's like, it's like having a plunger and sticking it to the wall.
Yeah.
It's not very...
Yeah.
Not very...
Exactly. And with advances in engineering processes, we're now able to manufacture surface finishes like macroporous and microporous surfaces, which allow new bone growth to effectively fuse the new support structure, the new surgical steel support or titanium support structure, to the bone itself, giving you a much more stable connection. The problem, however, is that you've now effectively got a large metal rod protruding from flesh, from what would be an open wound. And that in itself, I believe, could possibly be sorted again by using a microporous surface finish, so the skin itself could grow into it, but you've still got, I suppose, the possibility of pinching the skin there in that area, I suppose, if it's not.
We do have skin grafting. There's like lots of artificial skin substitutes that are out there now. If you use the graft and make up whole, like, to sort of, you know, make a sealed unit, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as osseointegration is concerned, I mean, it's quite clear that Adam Jensen in both Human Revolution and, I'm just going to say Deus Ex, because if I have to keep saying Human Revolution and Mankind Divided, I'm going to mess it up. So, it's quite clear that Adam Jensen in Deus Ex has fully osseointegrated cybernetic prosthetics. And it's also quite clear that he's got nervous interfaces as well. Now, again, there's been a lot of work that's been done recently with electrodes and electrostimulation for the nervous system for use with prosthetics and cybernetics. I mean, Dr. Kevin Warwick of, I believe, Reading University. I may be mistaken there. Pretty sure it's Reading University. Did some research quite a few years ago now, using electrodes that you implanted into the nerves in his forearm, and did some rather impressive experiments in school project Cyborg. So it's definitely something worth looking into in your own free time. But he did some really impressive stuff. He did sort of some the first instance of a direct nerve to nerve coupling, so two people's nervous systems directly bonded via technology, where he connected his forearm electrodes to a computer, to the internet, which connected to another computer to a set of electrodes that his wife had, and he could stroke his arm and she would feel some degree of tactile response. And I believe at the time he was in America and she was in the UK, so it's already the ability to track nervous impulses is already quite a sophisticated bit of technology we've got available to us. Again, there's another TED Talks with a guy who links, the TED Talks is called How to Control Somebody Else's Arm. He links a lady's arm effectively to a guy's arm, and the lady does the crimp of the hand, flexes the hand and the wrist, and in response his arm does it in response as well, which is incredible to consider that we've got to a point where we can map neural impulses to the point where we can almost duplicate them to another person's arm. I mean, that does bring up a lot of moral and ethical concerns, you know, controlling somebody else, taking away the free will of individuals, but the fact that the technology is already there means that it can be applied to cybernetic prosthesis, and it has been in the instances of legs. My particular interest in the prosthetics falls under a lot of different things, of course, but at the moment it's the arms, because there's some incredible advancements. I mean, it's, you know, we're miles away from the old hook hands that people used to be given, but it's still...
I mean, prosthetics have always been around since the age of the pirate, when people lose legs and things like that.
Yeah,
just literally sticking a stick to their leg.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crude, but...
It worked.
It's where it started.
Yeah, it's the technology they had available to them, and now we've got more sophisticated technology. We should be able to make more sophisticated prosthetics. Now, arms are a completely different ballgame. Like I said, it's not to discredit the guys who have made the legs, because they've done some really impressive stuff, but... the dexterity of a hand and being able to do simple things like, you know, touching your thumb from your little to your ring finger to your middle finger to your index.
Well, just so much as actually just like throwing a tennis ball up in the air and actually being able to catch it again, because the human brain makes, I don't know, a million calculations before somebody throws a tennis ball up into the air and then catches it again. To the human mind, sitting there and throwing it and catching it again seems very, very simple, but you try to get a robot arm to do that, it has none of the environmental information that you receive from seeing something, from being able to hear it, what your brain uses the information around you, like to work out where an object is in space via like shadows.
So
teaching that to a robot,
yeah,
takes some time.
Skills don't translate quite the same way. Yeah, it's not intuitive. I mean, that's been a big problem with like artificial intelligence a long time, is that the human mind, consciousness is intuitive. Meanwhile, CPUs, robots, machines, they're logical.
It's binary, isn't
yeah.
it? It's yes, no, yes, no. Can I do this? Yes. Can I do that? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a series of series of choices at quite fast rates.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. But so the full dexterity of a hand is and the interaction that comes from having your own hands effectively to be able to interface with your environment is something I've got an extreme interest in. I mean, I even at the moment, even the most sophisticated cybernetic hands that I'm aware of, at least, are still really only controlled by a flex of the bicep and a flex of the tricep. I mean they've done some work in nerve, like sort of rerouting, where they've used residual nerves and they've implanted them into like the pectoral, and then used sensors to pick up certain areas of the pectoral where those nerves sort of stimulate that the pectoral muscle. Now, they've done some of the nerve remapping, but there's still the matter of effectively it's still a bicep and tricep clench, or you know, clenching of the pectoral because of the nerve remapping, and it really only results in an open gesture, a closed hand gesture, maybe rotation, and maybe some presets, so like pointing or the pinch sort of motion. And that's still, in my opinion, nowhere near what we need, what the sophistication we need. We need full dexterity. We need it to... I mean, the whole phantom limb syndrome is testament...
The ideal would be, for instance, to have an arm or a hand that can... Say an amputee is right-handed, they lose their right hand, or they've lost their right hand, and that's the hand they write with. I'd like to be able to sort of make a prosthetic or an enhancement, because prosthesis is obviously just replacing the limb.
Yeah.
They can effectively maybe write their name again.
No human is disabled. It's technology that's disabled. You know, the technology isn't meeting the requirements of man. If you osseointegrate, that's great, because it's a better connection to the body. It's a better structural connection to the body. If you nervously integrate, great. You know, you can pick up all the nerve transductance that the brain is sending that allows the really complex movements of the hand, you know, the varying different things that we can do with our fingers, and allowing full dexterity to be restored to a person with amputated arms. But the sense of touch, I mean, I know there are sensors out there that do something similar. They give sort of a tactile response, but it's not the sense of touch. And ultimately, the sense of touch is something that's highly sought after. Now, if you, like I say, if you fully integrate the limb to the body, it just makes sense, especially with the technology that's... I recently read an article on 3D printing of stem cells. I mean, that's incredible. I saw another article, it might have been actually this afternoon, of skin... artificial skin that's being able to be developed for burn victims to be able to replace the skin and help the healing process. Now, it's not outside of the boundaries of imagination that if you have no arm, let's say you've got no left arm, you have a prosthetic arm put in place that's fully integrated into the bone, so it's structurally connected to you. You have it linked to your nervous system, to the main nerve axons that enter under the armpit. And then with this 3D printing technique, or some sort of stem cell, maybe spray or something like that, it's completely within the boundaries of technology soon, that you could have the possibility of growing living tissue back down. I mean, we're getting into Terminator.
I was going to say, we're heading into Terminator or iRobot territory.
Yeah,
here, but I mean,
living tissue on the middle endoskeleton.
However, it's not... I guess it can sound ridiculous, but to somebody who's, lost an arm... They're not going to mind, you know. If their arm may look metallic, but then I'm sure they would love for their arm to look very similar to their other arm, if they could.
It's getting to the point now where I see guys walking around with like prosthetic arm, with the prosthetic legs, and I just think to myself, wow, that's some incredible.
That's a
technology.
Serious feat of engineering, right?
Yeah.
There.
it's already, just because technology is advancing, the stigmatism of a disability is being revoked simply by the development of technology. But the idea of growing skin back down, I mean, you're one of the few people I've met. I mean, again, we're getting... I mean, this is the whole thing with Deus Ex. It's about transhumanism. It's about technology pushing mankind's evolution further than nature can do. And you're one of the first people I've met who would volunteer... If that technology was in place, would voluntarily lop off your own arms and have artificial ones put in place.
Definitely.
And to be honest, with the advancement of technology, I mean, we're talking, it's 2027, it's the Deus Ex game kind of happens, like having Jensen's story sort of begins.
I mean, didn't they have researchers for the game that were actually, they just went and spoke to the science community, futurists, I don't know, people just in the know about the technology and like possibly available in the future. And, I mean, a computer game is a computer game. I mean, the rules, you can bend the rules a lot, obviously. But and then again, a lot of today's ideas have come from sci-fi. I mean, we're looking at Star Trek. Well, my dad was looking at Star Trek when he was a kid, looking at a little tiny little, what essentially was a mobile phone. He thought that would never happen. Now we're all wandering around with a mobile phone.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I do believe that the game creators actually spoke to futurists and scientists in the know about the technology and actually asked whether that technology would be capable of in the year 2027. Now, I think we're 2016 at the moment. That's 11 years away, just over a decade. We're talking 11 years in the future, and it's really already now getting to a point where there's a potential for these prosthetic limbs to offer the user more than their existing limbs can. If I could be given a pair of legs that could allow me to jump 3 meters straight up and run at 35 miles an hour. Hell yeah, I trade my legs in.
Yeah, definitely.
You can understand why the technology is getting to that stage now where transhumanism is a real possibility.
It would change the life of so many people as well, because like, I don't know about you guys, but like, as I've started to age, things are starting to go wrong with my body. Like, I've gotten arthritis in my collarbone. Now, because of that, like when it plays up, I can barely lift my daughter up on my arm, and she weighs, what, 19 pounds something.
Yeah.
You know, she's not very heavy, but when my arm plays up, I can barely lift her up on it. It hurts like hell.
Yeah.
To be able to replace the collarbone and the entire arm. To me, it's very appealing to be able to integrate that sort of thing into the body, because it can get rid of some of the fatigues that happen to the body over time.
Mm.
You know, like arthritis.
I mean, even, again, straying slightly away from just your day-to-day prosthetics into the more aggressive and more military aspects of the prosthetics that Adam Jensen's sporting. I mean, he's got a Dylan armour that's built into his body and into his epidermis, into his skin.
Yeah.
Now, a Dylan is just a sheer thickening fluid. Effectively, he's got a nanocomposite carbon nanotube filaments inside his body. So I suppose in separate sections of his pectorals, his abdominals, his trapezoids or whatever. You know, he's got them throughout the majority of his torso. And they're saturated in a sheer thickening fluid, which means that when a blunt force or a trauma or a bullet or a knife slash or whatever, it impacts these plates inside the skin.
Effectively, kinetic force is translated to the armour. That kinetic force is then the sheer thickening fluid. Because as the kinetic energy goes into the armour, it becomes harder with the more kinetic energy that's being used. So
yeah.
If somebody fired a tank round at you, you would stop it, but then obviously the round would continue going. So it's obviously relative to the size of the ammunition that's being thrown at you.
I don't think I'd like to be hit by a tank round, to be honest. No, but
then again, 9mm or something like that, which, you know, is 9mm, I mean, even for like the police could do with something like that. Even just like a tactical vest sort of sense.
Yeah, with Dylan armors. And again, this technology is becoming available. I mean, again, a quick search on YouTube for sheer thickening fluid or Dylan armors, or dilatant rather. There's another T in there. And yeah, you can find a wealth of information on that kind of technology that's available. Now, implanting it is really, if there's a lot of ethics and bureaucracy that's wrapped up in the whole field of prosthetics and human enhancement, which means that a lot of the research that could be being done is being limited. Now, don't get me wrong, I think obviously we're going to need some sort of forms of regulation in place so that certain enhancements or certain augmentation should be more carefully policed than others. But we're getting onto the whole, again, it's got this undertone, this narrative under the game, under Deus Ex, in that augmented people have become ostracized from the mass populace, that augmented people are in some way dangerous or less of a human than people who have no augmentations.
But the fact is that the prosthetics that are in Deus Ex are really,
we're really close to actually nailing them, to actually being able to produce this kind of technology. I mean, even another field, he's got like a heart defibrillator built in, for example, and a rebreather built in as well. Now, that in itself is an aspect of technology that's advancing that is of keen interest, because we're in a position where we are able to make artificial organs. We can make an artificial heart, for example. There's actually a guy that's been like, he's clinically dead, technically. He's got
yeah, he has no physical biological heartbeat, does he?
Yeah, he has no pulse. But he has a pump, like a constant pump that pumps the blood around his body, which means he's got no pulse, but he's up walking around and doing his day-to-day life.
And that will continue to flow even after his brain stops to functioning. So, yeah.
So the technology, you know, we're talking 11 years out, but I'll be honest, judging by the advancements of technology recently and the sudden ease of access of 3D printing technologies and additive manufacturing and things like the Arduino, for example, which is the little circuit board kit that you can connect biosensors to. The sudden availability of this technology is paving the way for this technology to come around a damn sight sooner than 11 years.
The legs were all but there. Yes, the legs allow significant increases in jump height and speed, as well as fall absorption, but Hugh Herr's work and the work from similar companies have brought that technology tantalisingly close. A few more advancements in materials technology and the structural bonding of man and machine, and we've got it. Arms, slightly different story. Although significant advancements have been made, we still need a full nervous interface and full dexterity restored. And that's just as a start point. Then the tactile response and the true sense of touch, that can come after. It's the restoration of the dexterity that we need to nail first. Eyes, we have the retinal chips, which allow the user to see the outline of objects. And with continued research, the day is fast approaching that we could create artificial eyes with enhanced optic suites and built-in heads-up displays. Implanted technology like the biochips and the RFID chips and wetware drives that Adam Jensen's got, it's basically like a memory upgrade. I mean, honestly, give me the financial backing and a surgeon willing to perform the operations and I'd be able to develop and install an RFID personal ID chip and a mass storage device under your skin. Well, it won't be directly linked to your brain. It's still on the right track. Saying that, we are working on the biochip that can be implanted in the thumb muscle, which can detect your heart rate, blood saturation levels, and blood pressure. And that's passively being inactive on a day-to-day basis, but it becomes active when it's being actively scanned by an antenna designed to pick up, like an RFID chip. I mean, that has huge implications for the medical industry and the personal fitness industry, even the app market. I mean, imagine how fun that would be to keep track of your actual blood oxygenation levels and your blood pressure and your heart rate. The dome and armor technology, again, the technology is there, it just hasn't been utilized in that way yet. Again, you know, given financial backing and a willing surgeon, I'm sure a dilatant dermal armor could be an attainable goal right now. Even the more kind of out there orbs, you know, like the glass cloak, we have materials now that can be X-ray visible and invisible to radio waves. I mean, they're all wavelengths of light. With development, that could reach the visible spectrum of light, the spectrum of light that we see, within a decade. And then you've got basically the glass cloak technology. I mean, this tech really isn't that far off. Some, if not most, is either possible right now or is in development and making leaps and bounds in the right direction.
I mean, 11 years isn't a long time at the, you know, by any extent of the imagination, but
the community now has the ability to get hold of these things. So rather than just it being played with by scientists and doctors and accredited people and such, it's actually available to the public. And you always find that when the public get hold of a technology or something like that, we end up bug reporting, as it were, on these things, and we end up making them better just from releasing something to 1,000 people. Then you release it to 10,000 people, they're going to find new ways of using these things.
Yeah.
Always. It always is, as is the way with everything, you know, it's human nature to try and be creative.
Exactly.
And be resourceful, essentially, and use something for more than just its made use.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in human nature to endeavour and to test the boundaries of what's currently accepted as being possible. And I think that's quite an organic place to end, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean,
well, we're open to debate. Yeah,
we're open to debate.
We're going to be active on this and see what happens, really. So
yeah. So if any of you guys have any questions, have any ideas of your own, or would just simply like to annoy us, for instance. So by all means, let you know. Some response would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd
be good to hear from you guys.
Now I'm going to edit this thing to fuck. I don't know how long that was, but it's got to be an hour or so.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.